a low temperature of 52 degrees. Chock full of nuts is that heavenly coffee, heavenly coffee, heavenly coffee. Chock full of nuts is that heavenly coffee. Better coffee, a millionaire, money can't buy.
And what could be better than another hour with me, Adam Lepp, also known as Adam the Computer Guy. But this hour, we have a slightly different wrinkle. Better a wrinkle on the show than a wrinkle on my face, right? This is called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, a new and temporary show here on The Talking Place, WWGH. 107.1 on your FM dial and broadcasting online by the power and magic of the internet at WWGH1071.com. And you might wonder, what do we do here on the Adam the Computer Guy Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam show? Well, we talk about interesting news topics from around the world, and just like on the Adam the Computer Guy show, which preceded this broadcast, we take your telephone calls live in the studio. Feel free to call me. We can talk about any topic that you wish. 740-383-9944. And we're also broadcasting a live video on the radio station's Facebook page. And you can access that page by looking up WWGH 107.1. Bookmark us, make us a favorite, leave a comment, question, suggestion, complaint. It's all cool with me because we're an audience participation show. You can also watch me do the show live on Facebook video. And you can watch that video on our radio station Facebook page and, of course, on my personal Facebook page. If you're not already a friend of mine, please become one. Look up Adam Lepp in Ohio or Adam the Computer Guy. Let me know that you're a listener to either or both of my shows, and I'd be happy to be your friend in a virtual or otherwise 2017 kind of a way, as we certainly value our listeners. Last but not least, you can always call me. You can always email me. That's what I wanted to say. Email me on our private email server. Just like Hillary, we have a private email server. And the email address is adam@wwgh1071.com.
Hey, honey, this paint party is a great idea.
Yeah. Hey, how about a coffee break?
Your coffee? Better wait till they finish, hon. We don't want to lose them now.
I brought the sandwiches. Good.
Oh, I see. Everything's going just great.
Everything but my coffee. Mrs. Olson, how do you make good coffee?
There are no shortcuts, so I use Folgers.
Why?
Different coffees taste different, and I think Folgers taste best.
Really?
It's specially blended.
Folgers? I thought I'd tried everything. That's mountain grown.
Oh, the richest coffee there is. Try some.
Okay.
Hey, smells good. Your coffee?
Yep. How's it taste?
Great. Hey, everybody. Coffee break.
Get Folgers, mountain grown coffee. You'll like the flavor.
And you'll like this show even better. It is Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. And, of course, I always loved Mrs. Olson. That was a fine connoisseur of coffee and other warm liquid refreshments. I'm going to go ahead and get in touch with my brother in broadcasting, Nick C.J. in Wales. And that's in the United Kingdom. He recently was involved in an important festival in his neck of the woods where he hobnobbed with important people and also had some very interesting experiences. So with no further delay, we go across the world where it's approximately 14 minutes after 3 in the p.m. to the great and beautiful Wales. And Nick, how are you today?
Very good, thank you, Adam.
Glad to hear that. Did you enjoy our discussions last hour on the Adam the Computer Guy show?
I always like the Adam the Computer Guy show, and my only complaint would be it's not long enough.
Well, that's okay. I'll talk to the boss and let's see if we can just have the Adam the Computer Guy show on 24/7. Why not? Or maybe 23/7. Anyway, this hour on the mid-morning coffee break show, we're going to talk about something a little bit different. We talked about some tech topics, some of the most valuable tech companies in the world last hour. Of course, always shenanigans with the Donald and other important people across the world. But speaking of important people, at this Hay Festival, which you were involved in recently, you met some interesting people, had some interesting experiences. Now, by hay, Nick, we're not referring to what horses consume. Hay is actually an area in Wales, right?
Yep, it's Hay on Wye, spelt the same, H-A-Y. And if any of your listeners want to look it up, if they look up hayfestival.com, they can have a look at what goes on there. It's been going for 30 years. This is the 30th year this year. My wife, Belinda, has been stewarding for 30 years from the start. And so that was the reason that we got introduced to the Duchess of Cornwall. I've only been doing it 27 years. And I did take a little break when I retired at one point in time through ill health, but got my health back and came back to it.
Well, so we're glad to hear that, Nick. Now, at the Hay Festival, how many people attend this event and how far away do they come from?
A quarter of a million, roughly. It would be about 300,000 probably this year. It goes for 10 days. It always starts on our June bank holiday, which is sometimes the end of June, end of May, depending on where it falls. It's our local town, Hay on Wye, has a population of about 10,000 people. So you can imagine the change that happens in the town when it goes from 10 to 15,000 to 250 to 300,000. It's quite a growth. But if people go and look at Hay Festival, they'll see the other festivals as well that have grown up from that. They do them all over the world now, in Africa, the Americas, Asia, Europe, Middle East. The next one is Kells in Ireland. And it's a huge thing. Huge.
I guess that's kind of comparable to the people that go to nearby Columbus to what's called Red, White, and Boom, which takes place on or around July 4th. And I don't think July 4th is a holiday there in the UK, Nick, but here in the States it is. And at least 500,000 people go to Columbus for that event. And so I guess in terms of people, it's rather comparable.
Sounds like it, and it's a small place that suddenly gets big. It's amazing when you have influxes like that. We have Glastonbury here as well, which if you go to Glastonbury out of season, I mean, it's just a quiet little town, very spiritual, very nice. If you go there in the Glastonbury festival time, when all the headliners hit it, the Stones and people like that, and Bowie's been there, and everybody's been there that's in music. It is enormous, enormous.
So David Bowie, I know you were quite a fan of his. He passed away way too soon. Did you get a chance to meet him?
I didn't. I've been very, very close. I went to see him live a few times, a couple at stadiums. You know, the old stadium where you sit or stand on the floor and see them on a big screen and a little person in the distance. But I did go and see him in the Brighton Dome, which would have been about 1972. And it was the Brighton Dome, which was the Ziggy Stardust tour, which was the tour before the date before he went to the Hammersmith in London and killed Ziggy Stardust that night. He killed the character, and that was the last time he was Ziggy Stardust. So I saw him then the night before that, and I had I don't know if you remember, Super 8 cameras.
Oh, of course.
The old film camera that used to take like 3 minutes on a little film, and then you had to send it off to be processed.
Oh, yes.
I was in the Circle, and it was a Circle in an old-style theatre, which is very like the ones you might see in a cowboy film, you know, the ones where the balcony comes over nearly over the stage and you can reach out and touch people. And I was very, very close, and I had my Super 8 camera, and I have film that I took of Bowie that night in 1972, which I hope at some point in time will be part of my pension. It's 3 minutes, and it is film that has never been seen by anybody anywhere.
We talked last hour, Nick, about some of the people that have hobnobbed with you and or that have been at the Hay Festival, including J.K. Rowling, the well-known author of Harry Potter. This is an interesting news story. Wanted to see what you had to say about this. We're talking again to Nick C.J., a frequent guest commentator and guest provider of information and topics and anecdotes here on the Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. We are taking your telephone calls. Feel free to call. Any topic you want to talk about is fine. 740-383-9944. J.K. Rowling has shared a protest plan of action in case, you guessed it, President Donald Trump makes a visit to the United Kingdom. Yesterday, the Harry Potter author admitted via Twitter that she would, quote, rather he didn't come. That's a pretty succinct way of saying it. But if Donald Trump is afforded the pomp and ceremony of an official trip proposed for later this year, Rowling revealed how she wants people to demonstrate. It involves using Trump's own tweets about Saturday's deadly attack in London, which killed 7 civilians and injured 48, against him. And J.K. Rowling tweeted, rather than crafting placards, I think we should enlarge Trump's London tweets so they're on camera everywhere he goes to show support. She also said, I'd rather he didn't come. This is a direct tweet from J.K. Rowling at 3:52 a.m. this morning, which would have been about 10:52 p.m. yesterday, so about 12 hours ago. He said, I'd rather he didn't come, but if he does, I'd like his vile tweets juxtaposed against whatever he's been coaxed to read off an auto cue. Following the attack, Donald Trump caused controversy by misquoting and then criticizing London Mayor Sadiq Khan. J.K. Rowling joined in with the global condemnation of Trump, calling him, quote, an alarmist blowhard. Any thoughts on that, Nick? Did you hear about that at all in the UK?
I'm not a Trump lover, as I've probably mentioned before. I just find the man a bit of a buffoon, and I think I try not to listen to what he says, to be quite honest. I have no comments, and anybody who could make a comment about two tragedies that we've just had, the Manchester one and the London one, that could even slightly upset somebody is, I just think, shouldn't be in a position of power.
What do you think will be the general consensus among British people if the Donald does make an official visit there?
I think the consensus is amongst, and we're about to have a general election, so we're going to have our big election on Thursday. I've already voted, as I do a postal vote, but everybody will be voting on Thursday. And I think across the board, there is no great love for the Donald over here. I can't think of one politician that I've seen that said, I can't wait to see him. You know, it's just not something that happens.
Okay, well, I guess that pretty much sums it up. Always interesting political discussion, especially when someone may be in a different country, and there are so many events happening in the world right now, and many of them not being very good either. Let's get back to the Hay Festival, Nick. Definitely a more positive topic. So you met Camilla, again, the second wife of Prince Charles, and what was she like?
Lovely, actually. I mean, when she's portrayed on the telly, and a lot of people who satirize and do these things, they make her out to be very horsey and etc. I thought she was utterly charming, and so did my wife and everybody who met her. We were told the day before we're both stewards. My wife has been a steward for 30 years, and I was the head steward there for roughly 20 years, and got given a nice handshake of a golden life pass, so I can go to see anything there for the rest of my life, which is rather nice. But we were told the day before, please be at the stewards area, all dressed up to the nines, and we'll see you then. And I didn't know why or what. And I said, why or what? And they wouldn't tell me. And it was all kept top secret, obviously because of our security problems over here over the last few days with the various terror attacks. And we turned up and they said, go and stand over there. The helicopter is just landing. And I said, whose helicopter? And they said, well, Camilla. We've had to keep it secret. But Camilla Parker Bowles, Her Royal Highness, the Duchess of Cornwall, to give her her proper title, the wife of Prince Charles, our probable future king.
So again, Charles and the two sons were not there, but Camilla. How long was she at the event?
Probably about an hour in total. They often just fly in. We did have Charles there 2 years ago.
So did you meet Charles when he was there?
But did you... I was within touching distance, but I wasn't introduced to him. And you don't chat to them if you're not introduced. But in this case, my wife was first because she was introduced by the festival director. And he said, this is Belinda Carter-Jones, longest serving steward who's been here for every festival since it started, the same as him. They are the only two people on the site that have been there for every single event. And then she had a nice word with Camilla and shook her hand and told her how the festival had grown. And then I was introduced, and this is the funny bit, and this is Nick, Belinda's husband, which my wife will be dining off for the rest of her life, because I was the head steward, and in most situations, I run the business and she works for me and things. We're introduced as, this is Nick Carter-Jones and his wife, Belinda. And in this situation, it was this is Belinda Carter-Jones and her husband, Nick. So I think she's going to be dining out on that little story for a long time.
So if Charles becomes king, is Camilla queen, or what would be her title?
Yes, she would be queen.
Okay, I apologize. I'm not really an expert on that stuff, so I was kind of wondering.
Yes, I think the odd thing is that she is a divorcee, and of course he is a divorcee, and that's never happened before. The only other divorcee that was going to marry was an American. I'm just trying to think. What's the name? Wallace Simpson. Wallace Simpson, and the king abdicated because he couldn't marry a divorcee, because the king or queen of the United Kingdom is also the head of the church. And at that point in time, that wasn't allowed.
Now, does that take place upon Elizabeth's death, or what would be the milestone that would be needed for Charles to become king? And if he does, when he does become king, what exactly happens? What kind of a ceremony would there be?
Ooh. Pomp and circumstance we would have. It's huge. I mean, the last coronation for the Queen was 1953, I think, and that was huge, enormous. The thing is that he may hand it to his eldest son rather than take it on himself. It's been a long time coming, because the Queen hasn't abdicated. The Queen could abdicate and just say, I don't want to be Queen anymore, or she could die, as you put it. Who knows what will happen, but to date she's not decided to do either, so we still have her.
So
long may she live.
So if he does hand it over to, I presume, William would become king.
Yeah.
And then the other princes, Harry and the children, they would retain their prince title, right? There wouldn't be any change there.
No, that would just be if there was a tragedy, basically. It's the lineage is there in case there is a tragedy, of course.
So the crown remains with their last name is Windsor, I believe, right? With the Windsor family, and that's pretty much indefinite.
Yes, there's no... there's no plan, I don't think, to change that. Of course, a German heritage, which is very strange.
So here on Mid-Morning Coffee Break, we talk about interesting topics, things you might think were kind of obvious, but may not be. And we have a real British person on the line with me, my brother in broadcasting and longtime friend and business associate, Nick C.J., talking mainly about the Hay Festival, which he and his wife were heavily involved in. Anybody else interesting there this year, Nick, besides Camilla, that you had a chance to at least observe?
Our biggest speaker this year that garnered the most, because Camilla was only there as a special guest to say hello to people. Our biggest visitor that you would know was Bernie Sanders. And I purposely said Sanders that time instead of Saunders, because we use the word Saunders a lot in the UK. Bernie Sanders, who was flown into the country, was picked up by a friend of mine in London, and he did two talks down there to quite large audiences in London, and then was shot up to Hay-on-Wye. Shouldn't use the word shot up, really, should I, with a presidential candidate or ex-presidential candidate. He was driven up to Hay-on-Wye and gave two different talks at ours. One which was a BBC one, which will be recorded for broadcast, and another one which was just a Hay Festival one. But the tickets were very like trying to get a ticket for a rock concert. Can't think of a big rock concert in America, but you know how they say, you know, they're all sold out in 5 minutes or whatever. You know, 500,000 tickets, and it was a bit like that. They all sold out in 5 minutes of being released. Literally, people were sitting there just click, click, clicking until they got their ticket.
Did you meet Bernie, or how was your...
No, just passed him on the boardwalk, so to speak, as he was ushered from one event to another.
Okay. Anybody else that might be of interest to my listeners?
I don't think there's anybody else that I can think of that you would know in the States. None of the big authors that are very... Well, I'm not a very authory person. The only person I know that you would know is J.K. Rowling. I mean, we've had people like Goldie Hawn in the past, Jane Fonda. I've sat backstage and chatted to Jane Fonda. Elvis Costello, he doesn't talk to anybody much. Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits. Sting, do you know Sting in the States?
Of course, Sting is huge.
Right. Bill Clinton. And I've shook hands with Bill Clinton.
We do have Bill Clinton's treasurer, Mary Ellen Withrow. She's on the air with Scott often, and she is from Marion. She still lives in the area, and she was the signer of dollar bills. Kind of surprising, you mentioned Elvis Costello, Nick, that he's quiet. He's kind of an intellectual type of musician and someone I think is underrated. I've always been a fan of his. He seems to me as someone who might actually be kind of talkative, so that's kind of surprising that he was quiet. He also had a guest appearance on the TV show Frasier once, so he's even acted, but kind of surprising that he wouldn't be more sociable.
Very shy, I would have said.
Mean, excellent musician. Again, very underrated. Very popular when I was in college, and I still like his music.
Yep.
So
yep. Very shy.
So you did meet Sting. Certainly he's someone else, again, very talented.
Sting, yeah. The only people I've spoken to that are famous recently that you would know, a long time ago I spoke to J.K. Rowling when I took my daughter to, this is pre all of the Harry Potter. My daughter's 27, so when she was about 7, so we're talking 20 years ago, J.K. Rowling came to Hay Festival to run a workshop for kids on how to write stories. And I took my 7-year-old daughter Hermione along to join in the class. And this is pre-Harry Potter books, and personally to me J.K. Rowling said, "And what is your daughter's name?" And I said, "Hermione." And she said, "Gosh, I haven't heard that name for many years. That's a very, very rare name."
Do have a phone call coming in from one of our regular listeners. Let's see if we can patch him in. And again, Nick, you may not be able to hear what I'm telling him, but I'll relay any questions that he might have, so just stand by for me. Good morning, you're on Mid-Morning Coffee Break. Thank you for calling.
And how's it going today?
Fairly fantastic, if I should say so myself. Have you been enjoying my discussion about the Hay Festival with Nick C.J.?
Yes, I've been listening to that. We visited London. Oh, actually, it was the day that Bush was elected for the second time. And I had a couple of things that seemed, you know, that seemed different about it. The first thing, well, we got to hear their view of the election, you know, the English view of the election. And my God, I Trump and the media here is a very at odds. But Bush and the British thing, my God, they were cruel. I mean, you know, you would have thought we had just elected Bobo the Clown. It amazed me, their response. Another thing that really surprised me a bit, we went to a concert at the, what is it, the Royal, the hall there. And we were very pleased. It was Diane Krall, who's, well, what's his name's wife there? Elvis Costello. And, you know, it's sort of traditional here, no matter the how good the show is, at the end you're sort of expected to bring them out for an encore. And, you know, my gosh, they just sit on their hands. It was a great performance, I thought. But I was surprised at their reaction. I guess you really have to hit the top to get an encore at the Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah, I'm attempting to see if I can have Nick hear the conversation with my caller. Nick, are you able to hear what my caller is saying by chance?
I did hear that. And I'm getting a bit of feedback now, but I will try and talk straight through so that I don't get the feedback.
Yeah.
One of the things I know from working backstage on these concerts and various things is that a lot of people have a set time. And so because of that time scale and the fact that they are set with that, I mean, we have curfews at Hay on Wye. The same would happen with the Royal Albert Hall at certain times they can play to. If they extend their set beforehand, then the time for the, let's call it in quotation marks, spontaneous encore doesn't necessarily happen. And the trick to stop that happening is that they put the house lights up. We have a comedian over here that you will have never seen, who is 90 years old now. He's called Ken Dodd, and he is famous for doing the longest comedy routine ever. This year he arrived at 7 p.m. or he started on stage at 7 p.m. Our curfew on site was 11 p.m. He started at 7 p.m. Our curfew on site was 11 p.m., after which the festival gets fined £1,000 per minute that they go over. It was 25 minutes past 11 before they got him off, so it cost the festival £25,000 in fines, and they definitely did not want an encore. So the minute that he walked off stage, they put the house lights up and the stewards open the doors. And sometimes that is done in order to end the performance. So it may have been that. Having not been there, I couldn't tell you.
I'm going to attempt to, if I can get my caller back here on the microphone. And again, hopefully, Nick, you'll be able to hear what he has to say. Caller, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Great. How about that for what I've rigged up? We can actually have a conversation with you here in Marion, one of our regular listeners and callers, greatly appreciated as always. And of course, Nick, on the other side of the world. Hopefully he answered your question well. Anything else you want to talk about regarding our conversation?
No, I'll just listen for a while, but we really enjoyed our trip. The darndest thing is we had to get used to some other things too. You know, over here you go into a bar and stuff, and often you sit down and they come to you. Well, we were sitting for quite a while until it finally dawned on us that we have to walk over to the bar and place our order ourselves, and then there wasn't going to be a waitress coming over to see us.
Well, some difference in culture,
thing,
for sure.
We took a trip from London to Leeds, and we were in the smoking car and all, and for the most part, I wasn't able to understand much of what they were saying. It was all in English, but it flew right by us quite a bit. But I tell you, we really enjoyed our trip there. My daughter had been there previously. She has a friend, and she converses with a lot. And we got to meet her and everything. And We really love bingo. And and then they said, you know, well, it's a private club, but if anyone asks, you're our cousin. and it's played at such a rapid rate. I mean, you know, here's, okay, B, 10, big pause, C, whatever. You know. But there, Mike, I just bang, bang, bang. So the people had to help us, and we did actually win something. And then we got our cookies, and it's a marvelous trip. Anyone who hasn't taken the opportunity to go over and see our cousins, I guess they should. It's quite enjoyable.
Okay, well, thank you very much, as always, sir, for calling the show, and we appreciate your being such a loyal and dedicated listener to not just my show, but all the fine programs here on The Talking Place, WWGH. Back with Nick CJ. Hopefully you enjoyed our caller. Any thoughts as to what he said, Nick, about how restaurants function or anything else that he might have brought up?
No, I mean, we are renowned for the queue. We're very good at queuing, which of course means that because we queue, we sort of get disrespected by the person the other end when you arrive at the counter. And there are lots of cartoons on the internet of people getting into the wrong queue, you know, and the British will queue for hours and then get there. In fact, somebody the other day, I'm just remembering now, somebody the other day in London started a queue, and they just got like 10 students to come and start a queue. And because they started queuing, people started queuing behind them. And then they came along with their microphones and said, "What are you queuing for?" And they said, "I don't know, but it looks like it might be good," which sounds like a joke. But the British are renowned for queuing, renowned for just, it's a different way of life. I mean, I loved it in the States when I came, and the fact that you sit down, you're given a glass of iced water, your coffee is endless. We just work on a different way over here.
So you were able to hear my caller. I tried to ring up a technology system where we can actually have more people than two in a conversation. So hopefully I didn't do too bad.
Marvelous. The first bit, I got a little bit of feedback. Second bit, it was perfect. So it worked well.
Yeah, well, you know, being an IT guy and a radio guy and an audiophile sometimes helps. I work a little magic and cross my fingers and voila, I've accomplished an accomplishment.
Well, and you speak French as well, by the sound of it, Adam, with your voila.
Very little. I took German, and I don't know a lot of French. Actually, it's a very, very difficult language. So I admire anybody who can speak it. Do you speak any other languages, Nick? We never asked you that. Besides English,
Gibberish.
Okay, speak gibberish. That's good. Sometimes my computer speaks gibberish.
No, I do speak a bit of Spanish. Un poco Spanish, español.
You speak a little of the native Welsh language too. I think we've discussed that.
I know some words, enough to get me by and enough to upset people that speak Welsh fluently, but not something I do well.
Okay.
Can I just mention, Adam, your caller mentioned about going up to Leeds and not understanding
yes.
anybody.
Yes.
We do have a lot of regional accents. I don't know if you're familiar with the comedian Reginald D. Hunter, who is very big here.
Not heard of him, no, sorry.
He's from your deep south. He's a black guy with very long Rastafarian dreadlocks, been here for 20 years, but he has the deep south type talk. And but we love it, and we can understand it. But there are people in the UK that have accents that even we have trouble understanding. Regional accents are quite strong here.
So just like here in the States, people from Alabama don't talk like people from Massachusetts, and people from North Dakota have an accent. In Ohio, we're pretty diverse, so many people have no accent, but some have a bit of a southern accent, and even some people in northeastern Ohio might sound a little bit eastern, but I would say we're one of the more accent free states in the country, just because of our location being, especially the Columbus and Mid-Ohio area, being so diverse, and with Ohio kind of being between the South and the Northeast, and on the eastern edge of the Midwest, but certainly in some parts of the country you do encounter people not only with a strong accent, but regional expressions. Nick, how would you classify your accent? I think we've talked about that a little bit. If somebody from a different part of the UK met you, would he or she have a reaction about your speaking a little different than the way that they do?
No, I speak with a very neutral accent. I was born in London, lived in the Midlands, and then lived in the south of England. So mine is not what they call received pronunciation, which is like the Queen would speak, which is very, 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 very clear and pronounced. But I've got one that is slightly more like that. If I go into my non-radio voice, which I don't really use that much, but I might if I'm slightly drunk, then that's more like up London, and we're all a bit Cockney, and we talk like air. And then you've got your chap that went to Leeds, which is very near to Liverpool, where they talk like that a lot, you know, and they'll talk to you like that, mate, you know what I mean, mate? And as you can imagine, that's quite difficult for an American to understand. You've got the Welsh accent, haven't you? There we are then, but, isn't it? What you up to then, my butt? Butt means friend. There's a good joke that they say, is that called my jacket? Which is one of theirs, which you only get if you're Welsh. So we've got quite a few that are quite strong.
So you don't say. I always wondered about this one also, Nick, and I'm sorry if I sound so childlike, but this is an interesting question. You don't say me instead of my, right? You don't say it's me jacket. You say it's my jacket, or am I incorrect?
It's my jacket. But if you were up north, yeah, you'd say, yeah, can you pass me jacket? If you was living in the Midlands, for instance, they'd have this accent, and they talk like that, and they'd say that everything was Boston, which means good, and they'd say, can you pass me jacket, please?
So I guess that isn't really a dumb question after all, that me jacket versus my jacket, that is regional, and you say my jacket.
You definitely. Wouldn't be caught dead saying me jacket.
But you still say mummy for mommy. You don't say mommy, right? You say mummy, or is that also regional?
Mummy's a little bit pretentious, and one might say that when one was young, or if one had a yummy mummy or something like that. No, I'd say mum. Mum we use.
Okay.
But if you're speaking to Her Majesty or HRH, the Duchess of Cornwall, you say mum as in ma'am as in spam.
Okay, yeah, I think we discussed that on Facebook a couple of weeks ago. So when you met Camilla, let's recapitulate for our listeners. What did you call her?
Mum.
Okay, and that would be standard then. That's how you would address her.
Yeah, and you shake as a woman greeting her. You would just gently shake hands. Try not to crush it, and say ma'am, and then a little curtsy, which is a sort of a duck from the hip, and men sort of just bow your head slightly, a little bit like, not quite like the Japanese businessman handing his card over, but a little bit of a little dot of the head to show respect.
Okay, so you certainly would never call her Camilla. It would never be a first name.
No. No, he breathes in deeply in shock at the thought. No.
Okay, just wondering. I've never had a chance to meet any British royalty, so if you don't know, you ask. You know me, I'm not afraid to ask.
No.
You mentioned the soft handshake. Of course, we discussed last week the famous rather strong handshake between our president, the Donald, and the President Macron of France. Any thoughts on that, Nick, about handshakes? Are handshakes in the UK not quite as a lot of people in the United States do have a firm handshake, and it's considered to be a good thing if you meet somebody important. Is that the same thing in your neck of the woods, or is it people make too much of a deal of the strength of the handshake?
I think people are definitely judged by a handshake. I do judge people by a handshake. I mean, the handshake, I'm sure all of your listeners know, comes from the fact that it was your sword hand and that it is to show that you are unarmed, which goes back right to the knights and all of that sort of stuff from the medieval times. So the handshake is, I think, a nice gesture still. I think it's definitely out of hand if somebody gives a woman a very hard handshake. And I think that men tend to give a firm handshake to each other if they really do like each other. But I think the hand crushing is not on. But then again, I must say, I don't like a limp handshake. We used to have a teacher in my daughter's school, and we always compared his handshake to that of a limp fish.
So you never quite know what topics are on the table here on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, my frequent co-host, brother in broadcasting, Nick CJ from Brecon in Eastern Wales, talking about anything and everything. Feel free to chime in here. Lots of time to call me. And you can even talk to Nick by the way that I have finagled the technology here at the station. 740-383-9944. Watch me on live Facebook video. Leave a message, question, comment, suggestion, complaint. Or, of course, leave a message on our Facebook page. And last but not least, we have a private email server, just like Hillary. Send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com. Nick and I have been discussing the Hay Festival, which he and his wife are heavily involved in. Another stupid question, Nick, and I apologize, but, you know, I sometimes wonder about this stuff. Your wife was called a steward, they don't use the term stewardess, that the steward is a gender, non-gender specific term?
No, steward always, it always has been a steward. Well, for people, I think, yeah, it's not like an air stewardess, and I think people still do call them air stewardesses. I'm not sure.
Flight attendant, but people still say steward or stewardess. Yeah, but you know, yeah. Flight attendant's mostly what they say here.
But it's like actor. You're not supposed to. You're only supposed to be an actor and not an actress anymore, are you?
Yeah, actor is kind of non-gender specific, but some people still say actress. It's kind of a debatable there. So yeah, I was kind of wondering. I didn't know, and I thought I'd ask. I know it's a kind of a dorky question, but you know me, I'm not afraid to ask. Another call coming in. Stand by, please. Good morning. You're on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam.
Tell me, Adam, what do you think of the handshake where they give you instead of giving you a whole handshake, they give you the finger thing? I mean, they crush your fingers, and you really don't get a very good handshake. What do you think about that?
I think it can be quite painful, as certainly I like a good handshake too, but I don't want to sacrifice my bones. And you know, that's the same hand that I use to turn the knobs here at the station and press the keys on my computer, and not to mention shift my car. You know, I'm a proponent of stick shifts, and I have to shift my 6-speed car. Well, it's 8 speeds, including neutral and 10 reverse, so I don't want to sacrifice my finger mobility, but I think a good handshake within reason is always a good idea.
I like a full handshake. I don't want someone to grab the front of my hand and give me a handshake. If you're going to do it, let's do it right. Now, I want to ask Nick a question.
Sure. I need to patch Nick in after...
No, I can hear him.
Okay, he can hear you. That's good.
Nick, do the young people over there go through that ceremony with the hands, high five, and then knuckles to knuckles, and is that a worldwide thing, or is that just something we see here in the States?
Unfortunately, it is a worldwide thing.
It happens here a lot, the high fiving. I'm not too worried about the high five bit. I'm not a great proponent or liker of the knuckles thing. And I do love it when people are left hanging. I do think that's so funny. I mean, it's quite often used in a comedy sketch, isn't it, where people put their hand up and high five, and then the person sort of just misses it or just ignores them. So, no, it's not intimate, and it's not a way of saying I'm not armed, and it's not a way of saying... I value your friendship, so I'm not a great lover, but it doesn't worry me as much. But yes, they do it a lot.
The young people?
Go ahead, Paul, and ask that question again, please.
Is that prevalent in the young people?
Yes, yeah. Yes, it is the young people mainly. Yes, yeah, over 40 probably wouldn't high five. Although saying that, I have high fived quite a few times in my life recently. So only because I know a lot of young people. I'm, when I'm doing the festival, probably 50% of the stewards are under 30. So there is a lot of high fiving goes on there, especially if something is successful.
See, I found a way to rig up a system where I can have my caller, a gentleman that frequently participates in this and other shows, and we always appreciate that, on the line with me, as well as my, of course, brother in broadcasting from across the world, Mr. Nick CJ. Paul, anything else you'd like to ask Nick
about
or talk about?
Nick, what custom do you find particularly odd in the United States?
Did you hear that?
I did. Odd in the United States. Well, I did. We did have a thing a couple of weeks ago, Adam, but we didn't get to do it, where we were going to have a sheet of the things that you say, like you say the hood on a car and we say the bonnet. And you have a purse and we have a handbag and we call them trousers and you call them pants. So I think that language difference has always been something that I found odd. I did also, the other thing that I find odd is your spelling. We are very French influenced. So, for instance, the word colour is C-O-L-O-U-R and yours is C-O-L-O-R. And there was, for a long time, myself and a lot of other people said, oh, it's terrible. Look at the way the Americans have corrupted our language, English, for instance, not having a U in colour. But then I had a lecture from somebody called Melvin Bragg at one of the Hay festivals, and he did do a TV program about it. And it appears that what you actually speak is more correct in some ways, because yours is still based on medieval English without the French influence. So that's the reason you don't have the U's in your colour, and we do.
Well, that's quite interesting, Nick. Really appreciate that perspective from a real British person who has many skills, not just technology, hobnobs with important people, and you know, language and culture. That's always a good topic of conversation in any radio show whatsoever. Paul, anything else you wanted to talk to Nick about?
Well, just I was curious. Does Nick have an American food that he likes? That he I don't know. Has he been to the States?
Yes, I have. I have been to the States. I like the fact that a lot of your things are never ending and you're very big on buffets, which have only just come over to here. And I know Adam is fairly partial to a buffet. I like scones and gravy with my bacon, which we would call sort of custard. Trying to think of the things. Grits, I like grits. I like the crispy bacon that you have, which we've only just started getting. I did like those funny frankfurters that you have at games that are covered in batter on a stick.
Coney would be a chili dog, but yeah, a hot dog on a stick. We eat those at the fair, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's bad for me, but I am terrible for junk food. So yes, all of the things that I've seen in Columbo episodes and Kojak episodes, I loved when I came over. So sloppy chili dogs, which are the most disgusting thing you can eat on the planet, really. Trying to keep the thing in the roll is beyond belief, but they do taste good. Your beef burgers, yeah, lots of things.
Okay, I want to thank Paul again for calling. Always in a good conversation when his dulcet tones enter the airwaves. Nick, we're about ready to close out the show. Thank you very much again for your outstanding insight, perspective, and always a surprise or two, an anecdote, and things you don't normally hear on other radio stations, because that's how we roll at the Talking Place, WWGH. Hopefully you can join us again next week and in the future. Have a great rest of your day, Nick. And this is Adam Lepp thanking you for listening to a Tuesday show we have for at least the next few weeks called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. Coming up next, news and features, and then the lovely Linda Sims. Adam Lepp here.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio.